For the first ever billion-dollar presidential candidate, where is the money coming from?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The Obama re-election campaign said this morning the campaign and the Democratic National Committee raised $68 million in the last 3 months of 2011. That's more than twice as much as the Republican frontrunner Mitt Romney raised in the same period. We talked yesterday about the role of big donors and super PACs in funding the Republican campaigns. So what about President Obama's campaign? Here's our Washington bureau chief, John Dimsdale.
The president's campaign aides deny it, but some say he'll raise $1 billion this year. His fundraising is ahead of the 2008 election when he attracted $750 million in donations. Democrats want to stay on par with Republicans, who've divided up their fundraising so far as they settle on a nominee. But GOP campaign strategist Patrick Griffin says a significant source of Democratic support this year is uneasy about the levels of campaign cash.
This is the one thing that I see that adds gas to the fire for the Occupy Wall Street movement. This is exactly what they're all about, big money sort of controlling the government and controlling the political process.
But the Obama campaign says 98% of their donations at the end of last year were for $250 or less, with the average at $55. Plus, they point out contributions to Republican super PACs far outweighed donations to Democratic-leaning independent political action committees. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
This week, Indiana became the latest state to make a deal with the online retailer Amazon involving the collection of sales tax. The state will start collecting taxes on internet purchases in 2014. Online shopping has so far been largely exempt from sales taxes, and states are trying to change that. Here to talk to us about what Indiana did is the state's governor, Mitch Daniels. Good morning, Governor.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, how difficult was it for you to reach this deal with Amazon?
I wouldn't say it wasn't that difficult. It took a while to work out, but they were very cooperative. Deals aren't that hard when both parties start from the same premise, and we do, namely that the sales taxes that states impose ought to be paid and paid by everybody equally and collected by everybody in the retail business.
Amazon was on the same page with you? They think that these sales taxes should be collected?
They do, by everyone. You know, Amazon being so successful and visible has gotten a whole lot of the attention here. But, for instance, in Indiana's case, they represent at most maybe 20% of the uncollected, I usually say innocently evaded, sales taxes that are owed. You know, we're not talking about an additional or new tax here. We're talking about the collection of a tax that's existed a long time.
Well, what was it that you did here? Because state after state across the country has been dealing with Amazon and trying to figure out what to do to make this work. What was it that you did that other states can do to make a deal?
I'm not privy to conversations with other states, but maybe it's just that we did try to work constructively with them. Amazon has found Indiana four times now and a good place to invest. We are routinely now found to be one of the best business environments in the country. And so they've become familiar with our state. They employ several thousand Hoosiers. And maybe that set the stage for this unusually cooperative agreement.
Governor Mitch Daniels, Republican of Indiana, thanks so much for talking with us.
Okay, Jeremy, take care.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in overseas trading this morning, down a fraction of a percent in Tokyo and Hong Kong, up more than a percent right now in Frankfurt and Paris. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow slipped 13 points to close at 12,449.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by GoToMeeting by Citrix, bringing high-definition video conferencing to online meetings for face-to-face collaboration. More at GoToMeeting.com.
Now to some good news from the Federal Reserve. The economy is improving in every region of the country. That's the latest word from the Fed's Beige Book, which was released yesterday afternoon. Now, if you're not familiar with the Beige Book, I don't blame you. So here to demystify it for us is David Brancaccio of the Marketplace Economy 4.0 team, which looks at how the new economy can better serve more people. Hi, David.
Hello there.
So we've reported on the Beige Book before. Basically, it's a survey of business attitudes from around the country. How do they actually do it?
Yeah, it's put together by all 12 of the regional Federal Reserve banks, and we called to find out. They say they use technology to do this, a telephone mainly. They call business professionals, factory owners, economists, not with fancy social science questions. The Fed calls up and says, yo, what's up? How's things by you, or words to that effect. It's as simple as that. So easy that I thought I'd try to put together not a beige book, but my own Brancaccio book.
I guess the first thing most people would say is it's terrible.
Yeah, that's Joey Sanchez, who runs Kabootz, a custom cowboy boot company in El Paso, Texas, Federal Reserve Region 11, by the way. So nothing scientific in these interviews, but you find out something useful about the economy.
The $500 boot or the mid-priced boot, that's not what's popping right now. It's a high-end boot.
A high-end Western boot, it's got fancy inlays, maybe something in alligator. He says are particularly popular with his high-end customers in Russia because they go for about $10,000 a pair. But the American middle class are still not doing much buying in their price range.
So from Federal Reserve Region 11, David, you find an interest in high-end shopping. What else?
So I check in on current business conditions in another Fed region, number two here in the East. I call up Kelly Conklin, who runs a custom cabinet-making factory in Bloomfield, New Jersey, Foley Weight Associates. The typical order he gets now...
cabinetry for a library or an expensive dressing room, those would be one part of a through-gut renovation 5 years ago, and now it could be the whole project.
So signs of life he's seeing now, but what he told me the economy needs now is a sense of confidence. He brought up political gridlock in Washington as a barrier to confidence, and in the end, that's why I think the Fed's beige book, the real one, is actually a useful economic indicator. You can learn a lot from just asking.
Marketplace Economy 4.0 correspondent David Brancaccio. Thanks, David.
You bet.
And finally to the Food and Drug Administration, which is pulling some cups of rip-roaring crab soup off store shelves. Not because there's anything wrong with the crab soup, but because the ingredient list doesn't let customers know that the crab soup has crab in it. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
They've got cell phones and iPods and Facebook and everything. It's tough to get a teenager's attention. Now imagine how television advertisers feel.
I always have my TV on in the background, but when it's not entertaining enough, I get on YouTube.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the future of TV, the Know Your Audience edition, next time on Marketplace. Also, the day's business news. It's from APM, American Public Media.